Hello and welcome everyone to Calling All Real Estate Investors. We are here every Tuesday at 1:30 p.m. Pacific Time, 4:30 p.m. Eastern Time, and for a live event with Chailey Ridge from Ridge Lending Group. Please utilize the chat feature in here. You can put all your questions throughout the call in the chat, and we will get to those as soon as we are able to. You can also use the raise your hand feature. That will allow us to see that you have a question and we can call upon you when we are able to. So just a reminder, we love your participation in these calls. So as always, please use those features, chime in when you have something to say that it pertains to what Chailey is talking about. We love that participation. And today, Chailey is going to be going through the list of Ridge Lending Group's top 10 things not to do during a loan transaction. So should we breaking them down a little bit, elaborating on them more? And at the end of this call, an email will be going out to everyone here and everyone that we work with that list. So no need to feel like you need to jot them down as we go. That list is going to be sent to you. So it'll be an easy place for you to find it, as well as it'll always be available on our website under articles. All right, Chailey.
Thank you, Ms. Carly.
Absolutely. On to you.
Okay, I appreciate it. So it looks like we might be a little bit light in participants today, but this will be great for recording and they'll have it. You guys will be able to access it on all of our streaming resources. So check that out. Carly, could you do me a favor? Do we have the graphics somewhere that you can pull up and share screen with just so that people can follow along?
Yeah,
I didn't grab that.
Absolutely. No worries. Let me get that going.
Thank you. Hey, gang. It looks like we're a very intimate group today. Hi, Matt. Hi, Eustace. Good to see you guys. Carly was just, you came in a few seconds later. She was just sharing what we're doing today. We're going to be talking about the do not do list for financing, all the things that you shouldn't be doing when you get into securing your loans for your investment properties. Actually, any mortgage loan this would apply to, not just rental properties. And so Carly is going to share that image so that we'll go through them. The top 10 things not to do when securing mortgage-related finance. And then next week, by the way, next Tuesday is going to be the flip to that coin. We're going to be talking about the top 10 things we want you to be doing when you're getting into financing and real estate mortgage loan. Before I get into that real quickly, I just want to give you guys a quick heads up for those of you that joined a few seconds late. We are going to be blasting out our newsletter. We're starting that again, effective today or tomorrow, Carly?
It's going to be tomorrow, yes.
Tomorrow. Okay, so you'll see our monthly newsletter that's going to be coming back more regularly. Well, monthly as regularly applies. And it's starting this month. So you're going to see what I have to say about the Fed's meeting last week. I won't give too much away except to say we are starting to see some improvements from last week's Fed fund rate pause, they're calling it. Well, some people are calling it a skip. Jerome Powell, it was voted on unanimously by the committee that they are not going to increase the Fed fund rate this month. A lot of people anticipate it's going to happen next month. I said I wasn't going to give anything away, didn't I? And you're going to be reading about this tomorrow. But as a result, I want to share with you guys that we're starting to see, as of today, really, yesterday, the markets were closed for Juneteenth. And so today we started to see a little bit of that kind of trickle down effect and the improvements that I expect might continue for the next days, weeks. We'll see. And by improvement, I would just share with you guys, it's not lighting anybody's hair on fire. It's pretty modest right now, but we'll see what happens in the next couple of days. It might be a quarter. It might be a 3/8. It might end up being a half. I don't know. We're going to have to keep an eye on it. Anyway, check out the newsletter tomorrow. There's some really good content in there and some other things, a little surprises that you guys will find. Okay, so I'm going to keep it succinct today. I'm a little bit pressed for time. So instead of me prattling on about different things, I'm just going to kind of go one by one. And what you're looking at here, these are the don'ts, the top 10 things we don't want you to do when you're getting ready to secure your financing for your investment transactions. Take them one by one. Number one. Don't make large non-payroll deposits without checking with your loan originator. Now, let me pause really quickly and preface by saying a lot of these may seem like common sense, and many of you may already know or be familiar with some of this stuff, but in addition to kind of going through them, I'm also going to be sharing with you guys the why behind some of this, because even if it's common sense and even if you know some of these things just instinctively already, you probably don't know why it's this way. So number one, we don't want you making any large non-payroll deposits in your checking accounts. Now, specifically the checking accounts or savings accounts that you have submitted to us as use for what your down payment is going to be or your reserve requirement. If it's some other account that you're not giving us for our purposes of financing, obviously do whatever you want. But if these are going to be accounts that we are going to be using to satisfy conditions that show, again, your down payment and your reserve requirement, it's going to be really important not to show those large non-payroll deposits. And by really important, I think it depends on your circumstances, but let me explain the why behind this. Any large deposit that we find in an account that you have supplied us, and remember, if you give us the bank statement today, okay, the 20th of June, and we're not closing until August, we're going to continue to need updated statements as time goes on. We need to make sure that the monies that are being used for whatever the condition is, down payment, reserves, is still viable. So it's not like you just give us the one and we're not going to require the following months that may be coming up. So if we see a large deposit as defined by anything over 50% or greater of your income, so if you make $10,000 a month, for example, or that's what we've shown as your income is, and we see a large non-payroll deposit for $5,000, we're going to come back and question that and say, hey, John, where did this come from? Now, as long as you can show the paper trail that shows it originated with you, then acceptably, we can take that and use it for part of your down payment or part of your reserves, as it were, whatever the case may be. But if I can't show it originated with you, let's say the silly example that I give, Great Aunt Alice said, here you go, Tim, here's $50,000, go on a vacation, take your honeymoon, invest in real estate, whatever it may be. That large deposit will be backed out of whatever the balance is at that point in time to then be the difference be used for underwriting criteria or qualification. You cannot use anything that isn't considered sourced and seasoned. So that's the reason for not wanting to, and let's say it doesn't matter. Okay, let's say that you have a large deposit in there and it's such that the balance, even without it, is still more than enough. Oftentimes, we're still going to make you source and season it, right? We want to know where those funds came from. So it just becomes either an issue with qualification, and or it could be kind of a logistical paper pushing nightmare. Nobody wants to have to supply more documentation or more proof of funds than we already require. So just keep in mind. And just as a reminder, for those of you that came in a little bit late, if you have questions, please put them in the chat. You can raise your hand. I'm happy to take a pause and answer those. You know how much we like the collaborative work together. Okay. Number two, don't open a different bank account. For similar reasons to number one, we don't want to have to go back and forth and try and paper trail all of what has happened from when we started to when we're getting ready to close. It becomes cumbersome. It can delay your closing. You guys are going to get irritated. It's more work on our end. So unless we had pre-planned this in advance and we knew about it and you had that communication on most of these bullet points is going to be key. If we know what's going on, we can give you the advice in advance of you making a wrong move. And maybe the wrong move is necessary, but at least we'll show you the path of least resistance and how to keep it from being too overwhelming or too burdensome. Okay, so don't open any different bank accounts unless we know about it in advance and we prepare you for what to do, similar to the paper trail that we would have to use on number one if we were to see large non-payroll deposits. If it's a payroll deposit, by the way, obviously it's perfectly acceptable, right? That's your income. Okay, number three, please don't change jobs, again, unless you've communicated with us. Now, if this is a necessary means, fine. But we need to know about it because we're going to be doing written verifications of employment, right? We're gonna need to make sure that the income that we're using, let's say you get commissions or bonus kind of income, a written verification of employment is going to be required. If we were to submit that, and you guys might, well, maybe you're surprised, maybe you're not surprised, but we have clients that have changed their jobs midstream of getting a loan and not mentioned it to us. And we send out the request for a written verification of employment or just to prove that the individual is employed and come to find out they're not working there anymore. That's first and foremost a red flag in underwriting, But also it's going to create a lot of uncertainty and then a lot more work on your side and on our side. So if you're going to be changing jobs, or you know you're going to be changing jobs, perfectly fine. Let us know in advance and we'll tell you what we need. Ideally, that's not the case, okay? But knowing in advance will help us give you the appropriate advice on how to manage and maintain going forward. We will ask for example, if you did change jobs, the offer letter, the terms, the pay. Sometimes, depending on your circumstances, we would have to wait a full 30 days after you started a new job so that we can see at least a full month's worth of pay stubs of income that you're receiving. Sometimes, again, depending on the circumstances, just the offer letter that might spell out the terms of employment and the new rate of pay isn't enough. Sometimes we're going to actually need the pay stubs. So again, it can cause delays and things that I've already described. So that's number three. Number four, don't take any unpaid time off. Now, this is going to be subjective. If you can afford to take unpaid time off and it won't affect your debt to income ratio in a negative manner to which you're no longer qualified, then again, fine. The key, and I'm going to continue to repeat this, is communication, making sure that you're communicating with us what your plans are. And when you think about it from a lending perspective, okay, put on a lending hat for a second. And let's say that you're going to lend me $100,000 to buy this property, right? You need to know that I am a solid bet in terms of repayment of this loan. And as such, you probably, if you've never done this before, you're probably going to want to follow some kind of metric and probably an already established metric in conventional underwriting guidelines to make sure that I repay the debt, in which case you're going to want to know debt to income ratio, the credit, the assets, all the things that you guys know that we require to qualify you for that mortgage loan. If in doing so, you find out that the income that I said that I made is less and my debt to income ratio is now over the threshold that the expectation of the guideline requires or allows for, then what happens? You're no longer qualified. And we have to make adjustments to extend the close date, or maybe we have to switch gears and look at another loan product that doesn't require a debt to income ratio calculation when the rates and terms of that new product are going to be less attractive. So it can make a fairly substantial impact if you don't know in advance what it means. You have to be talking to us about it. Okay, number four, don't spend money that you have set aside for closing. That's a pretty obvious one, right? And this, we've seen this, let's say in an example where you had $50,000 that you had sourced and seasoned, and that was more than enough to qualify for the down payment and the reserve requirement or whatever it may be. And then you went and spent $10,000 of it to help out a friend on a rehab that they're doing or whatever. It doesn't even matter. You just, $10,000 is now gone, but you said, you thought in your mind, it was okay. I can spend this $10,000 because I'm going to be able to get $10,000 from my uncle. He's going to let me borrow $10,000. Well, borrowed funds on an investment property transaction are not allowed. So that would kind of go back to number one, where a large non-payroll deposit, if that were the case, if it was over 50% of your income, were to show up in the accounts that we're using for your qualifications, then you no longer qualify. Right. If you don't have the funds, then you're going to have to wait 60 days for that large deposit to season before you can close, causing, again, delays. But what happens if we're trying this happened and the delay was such that the seller said, no, sorry, I'm not going to wait. You're out of contract. I'm going to keep your earnest money. So you're out $1,000, $5,000, whatever the earnest money was. You're out the time and the energy. You're out the appraisal fee probably at this point. So there's a lot more to it than just delaying a closing. It could end up being quite costly if you don't understand some of the why behind the how of what we're talking about here. Okay, number six, don't use credit cards excessively. Let your accounts fall behind or increase credit limits. So I started by saying all of this sounds kind of obvious, right? But the why behind this would mean that in the event, and just a quick reminder, credit reports conventionally are good for 120 days before a new one is required. So if we were to find ourselves in a place where another credit report needed to be pulled, and in the meantime, from when we pulled it the first time to when we pulled a new one, your ratio, your limit, credit card limit to balance, your credit card limit to the balance is over a certain threshold for optimization in scoring. And we repull it and your 760 credit score drop below 700. That's going to be pretty impactful to you, right? It's going to, maybe you don't qualify anymore. It depends on where you are in the lineup of how many finance properties you have for the product, the loan product that we're trying to get a loan from. Maybe the interest rate goes up by a half a point because of that. And now the property doesn't cash flow anymore. Those are all scenarios that we have seen and that would be clearly damaging to the success of the investment. You don't want to let your accounts fall behind, right? We don't want to see any lates because that could impact score and interest rates the same way. Increase credit limits. I don't know if I agree with that one. I think that to increase the limit probably won't hurt you as long as you're not charging up more. I think that to increase it, if you keep the balance the same as it was before, that actually might work to your advantage. And that utilization, that's the term I was struggling for finding a second ago. So utilization within your credit cards, the high credit limit to what you owe, the lower the better for credit scoring. So I think that increasing the credit limit might actually be a do if the balance remains the same or less. So that might be something that I'll add to next week as a do if we're trying to keep credit scores optimal. Number seven, don't apply for any new credit accounts. Now, this one is important because this can, at the very end of a loan transaction, many of you probably aren't aware of this, we pull a final, it's an internal report that is, it's a nationwide database, et cetera, that will allow us to see if any new debt has been secured by our borrower, by you, the individual. And it'll show inquiries, credit card or other kinds of inquiries had been applied for. And even if it's just an inquiry, we're going to see that and we're going to come back to you. And it can happen at the 11th hour and say, hey, Stephanie, did you apply for new credit? Did you secure new debt? What is the payment on that? So it's extra hoop jumping at the very least. And or if you did apply for any new credit accounts and it did create a new monthly liability, guess what? We have to add that in and recalculate debt to income ratio and make sure that you're still viable and qualified. Honestly, I can't tell you how many times, and it's just, it's because you guys aren't in the space and living it and breathing it. It's not that obvious thing. It happens all the time where we could be, you know, a week to closing and this happens, a tight debt to income ratio to start with. And, Jane co-signed for her son for a car, a $300 a month payment, didn't even think twice about it. Now her debt to income ratio is in excess of the max and she can't get this loan. She's got to get a cosigner. She's got to bring more money down. She's got to buy the interest rate down. And if all else fails, maybe we look at debt service coverage ratio for her. Maybe that's an option. But all of those things clearly you can see are not going to be the ideal and you want to avoid those at all costs. Okay. I think that 7 and 8, I should have read this before I got on today, guys. I'm winging it. Don't take on any new debts, any new car furniture. Same thing. I mean, I think I answered both. So they're two different things. So don't apply for any credit accounts because we're going to question it and it could delay things because you're going to have to write letters of explanation that, yes, I had a credit inquiry for this purpose, but no, I did not secure any new debt. So that would be the one. And then obviously don't secure any new debt unless you check with us first. Maybe you've got all kinds of room in which to do that and it's not a problem at all. You've got this great opportunity to get this line of credit or this interest rate on this new car that you want is really, really low and whatever. Or maybe you need to, your old car, you've got to turn it back in, it's on a lease and you've got to do a, you got to get a car. So you're going to do get a new lease on a new car. Just make sure we have the conversation and that we know what the old payment was going to be with what the new payment is going to be so that we can plug that in there. If it's any more, if it's even a dollar more than what it was before, you want to let us know that to make sure that everything is still in line with qualifying. This one's one of my favorites. Number 9, please don't go out of the country without letting us know that that travel is expected. This one probably happens more than the others, believe it or not, where there was no notification about them traveling or being gone out of the country, even stateside, within the window of closing. Because clearly, if you're going to be gone, then we can make arrangements to, one, find out if there's a U.S. embassy nearby where you're going to be, and we can make arrangements for you to sign there. Otherwise, if that's not a possibility, then we can figure out how to or whom we want to make a power of attorney for you, if that's feasible, so that that person can sign on your behalf while you're gone. Otherwise, clearly, we're going to miss our close date if you're not available. And then 10 kind of falls into number 7 and number 8. Co-signing for a loan for somebody is going to come up, and we will find it at the end when we do that last minute search, internal search, to see what might have changed within your credit profile. And it could really screw up a debt to income ratio. Now, all of these things, gang, are very particular to your circumstances. If you have a debt to income ratio of 2%, and you could add another $2,000 of monthly liability or $10,000 of monthly liability, and your bank accounts have, you know, millions upon millions of dollars in them, and you know, large deposits won't even make a dent, or maybe you're going to be traveling out of the country, but we have a specific power of attorney already set up. If all of these things can be easily diffused and not have too much of a negative impact, if we know in advance, and depending on what your qualifications are, it's really going to be very subjective to your individual qualifications and circumstances. Okay. Anybody have any questions about any of these things, or otherwise we still have some time. I got through that pretty quickly. No questions.
Feel free to put them in the chat like we had talked about earlier. Any questions on any of the 10 as it pertains to your specific situation, or just questions about what Chaley meant?
Or if not, if all of this is kind of old hat, what else do you guys have questions about? I know somebody's got to have a question. We got time. We have minutes. Nothing? Going once. Going begging. Going twice. Okay, gang. Well, this will be on repeat for you in the community later today or tomorrow morning. You're going to see the newsletter tomorrow. We're starting our contest series. You'll see that as part of the newsletter. It's going to be fun. I'm excited. Tomorrow's is, should I give them a hint? Carly, I'll tell you. So we've got a series of contests that we've come out with. I think I said this last week. This week is going to be Caption This. It's a fun picture. Whoever captions or provides the best caption, you can email us your caption. It'll be on all of our social media. The links will be in the newsletter. There's a $250 gift card to Home Depot for investment property or whatever else you want to use it for. So it should be fun. And I like the picture that we use. So I'm interested to see what you guys come up with for your captions. And then any other house cleaning, keeping, not that I can think of. So
yeah, I just want to reiterate that this list, it's going to be available on our website for you to look back on. We're also going to be sending out a blast email to everybody with this list. So if you didn't catch all of them today, or if you wanted to go back and have this to look on during your next loan transaction, that will be sent to you.
Thank you, Carly. Okay, gang, then that is it. We remain on standby. If any of you needs us for anything, running the scenarios, answering questions about your qualifications, strategy stuff, it doesn't really matter. Just let us know. We are always here on standby, ready to assist. And we'll see you next week. Next week is going to be the 10 things to do. So check us out then. We'll see you guys next week.